Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. My name is Courtney Schultz, and I serve as the coordinator of congregational care here at Stonebridge, and it's my joy and privilege to be with you this morning and to share with you from God's Word. If you would, please join me in prayer. Gracious, almighty, loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning freely and safely to hear from you, God. God, I pray that my words would be your words, that this message be a demonstration of your Spirit's power and nothing of my own. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Today we wrap up our series on the question, why? So I want to go back and revisit briefly the different things we've talked about in this series. We have been asking the difficult questions over the past several weeks. We asked, why do the innocent suffer? And in that discussion, we talked about God's love for us and human and creation's free will. And that free will means we have choices. And sometimes people choose to do things that harm themselves or others. But that God's love is still with us. The next week, we looked at the question of, why do my prayers go unanswered? And in that discussion, we talked about how prayer is a relationship with God. Prayer is our channel to know God so that we might know God's love. And then last week, Pastor John talked with you about, why can't I see God's will for my life? And he talked about how we can co-author our life story with God, that God doesn't have every step of the way planned out and we're puppets just walking along in God's way. No, rather that in our free will we make choices, and when we make the choices that are loving our neighbors and God, that is how we live into God's will. And that together with God, we co-author a story that helps to bring the good news to our world. So we wrap up today with the question, will God's love prevail? To put it simply and short, yes. God's love has prevailed, God's love does prevail, and God's love will prevail. And this morning, we're going to look at some scripture that kind of lightens that for us, that shows us how that looks in our world. The common thread we can see through the last 3 weeks, and then we'll see it again today, is the actual same common thread message that we see throughout all of Scripture, from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, Old Testament and New Testament. We see the same primary message proclaimed. God is with us. In the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, as he prepares to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, and they are told they are going to face fortified cities and well-armed giants, God spoke these words to them. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, as the Jews are living in exile in Babylon, they are encouraged by these words. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Over and over and over again in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, we see the message that God is with us. Dr. Jerome Groopman, a chair in medicine at Harvard, wrote in his book, The Anatomy of Hope, that hope gives us the courage to confront our circumstances and the capacity to surmount them. Our hope as Christians remains and gives us courage to confront our circumstances because we know the promise that God is with us. We know that we indeed can surmount any circumstance because we live with the power of Christ in us. That is the message of our hope. That is the message of the promise that God is with us. Yet we know, because we've talked about it for 3 weeks, that evil, struggle, hardship, suffering, and pain exist in our world. So what does the Bible say about that? How does the Bible say God handles the evil that results from free will, from nature's turbulent creation? The Apostle Paul helps us to answer that. He illuminates that question for us. In his letter to the Romans, in chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, he addresses this. He says, "We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The Apostle Paul says, nothing will separate us from God and God's love. The word behind, nothing will separate us from God's love. In verse 28, he tells us how God deals with evil. In all things, God will work good. The word behind all things there in the Greek is a word that's panta, which means it has a nuance of not just meaning all, but all and all and all. Everything, not a single thing left out. So what Paul is saying is that good will be worked in every situation, in joy and sorrow, in struggle and success. God can take evil and bend it to serve God. God may not take the evil out. God may not magic trick from heaven suffering away, but God will use the hardship and struggle to work for good, for God's purpose, and to serve us and God. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and ministry were and are very good examples of a man who lived embodying this hope. Reverend Dr. King worked to see good. Reverend Dr. King had hope because he knew that God is with us. Reverend Dr. King believed the promise that God would twist and work evil for good, that God's love will prevail, and that the struggles that he and others of his day knew would be overcome. He says in his sermon, "The Death of Evil Upon the Seashore," this, In our own American struggle for freedom and justice, we are seeing the death of evil. We see the forces of segregation gradually dying on the seashore. The problem is far from solved, and gigantic mountains of opposition lie ahead. But at least we have left Egypt, and with patient yet firm determination, we shall reach the promised land. Above all, we must be reminded anew that God is at work in his universe. Here on all the roads of life, he is striving in our striving. I love that last sentence. He is striving in our striving. So Reverend Dr. King not only believed in the promise that God is with us always, and not only believed that God's love would prevail and that God would work good among the struggles of the day, but Reverend Dr. King also knew that God calls us to participate in that. That as Christians, we are called to participate in the prevailing of God's love. He is striving in our striving. We talked earlier in the sermon series about how God works through us as Christians by influence and not by force. So we have to answer the call to participate in bringing the hope and good news of our faith to others. The ultimate example of God forcing evil to serve God's purpose is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Evil condemned Jesus. Men driven by evil purposes crucified Jesus. And for a time, the disciples and other followers believed that evil and death had won. But in 3 days, God did the most overwhelming and incredibly beautiful thing. He twisted that evil and caused it to serve God's purpose, that humanity be reconciled to God through the sacrifice of Christ. Because Christ is risen. Christ lives. Christ conquered sin and death and evil. Evil and sin and death do not get the last word. The overwhelming message of the resurrection is that life and love win. Life and love get the last word. God's love prevailed on the cross. God's love prevailed in the empty tomb. God's love prevails today, right here and now. And God's love will prevail until kingdom comes. For eternity, God's love prevails. God took the ultimate act of evil, of human evil, the crucifixion of an innocent man, and twisted it into his beautiful message of hope and salvation offered to each and every one of us. We need only accept that hope and engage God. The book of Revelation paints a beautiful picture of what the eternal victory looks like. What does it mean when God's love prevails and triumphs over it all, for all, and forever? I would invite you to close your eyes for a minute as I read this scripture, to really engage with the words and let the author paint the picture of what that looks like in your mind's eye, that you might see how you would be a part of this new Jerusalem, this ultimate triumph. So I will be reading from Revelation, beginning in chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." Can you see it? Is it beautiful? Are you there? You can open your eyes. Again, in Revelation, we see the promise. God is with us. God's love prevails. Just as we're promised in Romans that nothing will separate us from God and God's love, so the book of Revelation says, for eternity. And we will live in a day of no more suffering and no more pain. What I want you to know is that the experience of the New Jerusalem, that beautiful description that I just read from our scripture, starts now. We are called to begin experiencing God's love prevailing now, and we are called to participate in that. We spoke when we talked about why do my prayers go unanswered. We talked about how we could be answers to others' prayers and being open to hearing from the Holy Spirit and following those nudges and promptings to do that. It works the same for sharing this hope that God twists evil into good and that God is with us through it all. We are called to answer those nudges from the Holy Spirit, to pay attention that we might know the opportunities where people around us are suffering and we can bring that message to them. Just as for us as Christians, God's hope, our hope is God's presence among us always, we can bring hope to another's life by being present with them. Now this involves being face to face. That is how we share in this message. That's even harder for us today than it used to be, as social media and technological advances prevent us often from being face to face. We're often face to phone. But face to face is harder. Therefore, we have to be more intentional about meeting each other in those places and about sharing our stories when we do. The greatest way we share the love of God, that we're able to participate in the prevailing of God's love in the world, is by sharing our stories. So I want to do that with you this morning. I'll go first. I want to share a story from my own life where God used evil and hardship, twisted it, bent it, redeemed it, and worked good in me, in my situation, by doing so. Some of you may know, others may not, that I am a cancer survivor. So in June of 2012, I underwent a total thyroidectomy, and shortly thereafter was isolated in the hospital for a radioactive iodine treatment. This was to get rid of thyroid cancer that was in my body. Now, the great news about thyroid cancer is it's like the best of the cancers because the treatment is fairly easy to endure, the surgery is not too invasive, and the prognosis on the other side of those is almost always cancer-free. And as long as the cancer does not return, you can go on living your life as a survivor with minimal long-term side effects. And I am pleased and blessed to tell you, as I stand here this morning, that's me. I am cancer-free. But that's not the point of my story. The point of my story isn't that I was faithful and prayed a lot and God took my cancer away. That's not what I think happened. What I want you to know about my story is that God took my cancer journey and made me better. You see, I live now with a brand new perspective on life. I like to say I got many years of wisdom in the span of a few short months. I wake up in the morning and I put my feet on the ground and I open my eyes and I am excited to be alive. I don't sweat the small stuff. I have a new appreciation for my life, my family, and most of all, for my relationship with God. Now, I'm just like most of you probably are. I have my grumpy days. There's plenty of days where it's hard to hold on to that perspective, and I might let it slip away a little bit. But more days than not, that's the way I live. And I could never have lived that way before cancer. So God took that evil, that hardship, that suffering in my life and twisted it and bent it and redeemed it and further sanctified me through it. I am better because of it. Do you have a story like that? Do you know someone with a story like that? A time where God took evil and suffering and twisted it and bent it and made something beautiful out of it. Not take the suffering away, no magic band-aids, but use it for God's purpose. If you have that story or you know one, share it. That's how we participate in God's love prevailing. In the Old and New Testaments, we are promised that God never leaves us, not even in the most difficult times. Paul tells us in Romans, nothing can separate us from God and God's love. The resurrection accounts of the gospel give us the hope and promise that love and life win. God's love does prevail. And Revelation gives us a peek into the coming kingdom when the ultimate triumph of God's victory and love exist, when evil and sin and death and suffering are no more. May we have confidence in all of those promises. And may we answer our call to help transform our world now into the New Jerusalem. We experience this now. Our salvation is now. For God's love has and does and will prevail. I want to leave you with some words from a fellow student of mine at Perkins. So she said I could share this. Her name is Emily. And I was face to phone scrolling Facebook and came across these words. It's a post she made. And I felt like not only did this really was a nice, powerful piece of writing, but I also felt like it really summed up the sermon series, and it really said what we've been saying all along each week as we answered the difficult questions. So I'm going to leave you with her words. Here is something seminary has taught me about love. It is redemptive. It is almost never deserved. It survives cruelty and harsh words. It returns even when it's forgotten or spurned. No matter how many times we push love away, it will continue to choose us over and over. This is the nature of love. This is the nature of our God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.